life. Hey, let's just shake on it and call it even, eh? Man, I think I got the wrong house.
I think I got the wrong show.
Camaros revved up. We are back, baby. Thrasher Peace Theater coming to you live. We are celebrating hair metal this episode. Mike, how you doing?
I'm great. Let's get on with it.
Mike, this is Mike's favorite episode. Don't let him fool you. He has a bunch of 80s CDs hiding under his mattress somewhere. So, in the studio with us is our buddy Jake. And he is going to be reading some testimonials we have tonight. Like, a lot of people were very, very, very enthusiastic about hair metal, as we know, and still are. But they're saying it better than we ever could. So, coming from whatever. And what's he got to say, Jake?
I got the clown tattoo on my arm, right under my U.S. Marine Corps tattoo. I love to party and drink. What octave? Sure wish they'd gone farther.
Hey, what about Blackie White Fence?
These are them good old days when metal and hard rock rolled whatever happened to Bang Tango.
What did Duff Philbag say?
I just don't understand the pussy bands that are out today. Is this when music and feelings matter, when hurting people's feelings didn't matter? Why weren't these guys huge?
You know what? It's crazy because there's a reply from someone called Building It Better. And what did he say, Jake?
Because our manager didn't know what to do with a band this big, just got lost in the shuffle.
I mean, is it fucking possible we just got a reply from one of the toys? I mean, could we be this dangerously close, Mike?
Can we?
I don't know. Here's Brittany Fox with Girl School Daddy.
Thank you.
that song either inspired you to throw up or throw your bra at the radio. Yeah, that's what they did at shows back then. So anyway, we are back in the studio here, and we have more testimonials from some diehard Britney Fox fans. Jason Diggs Barbush says,
"Headbanging is the same energy as praising our God. The devil has nothing to do with it."
Yeah, and that's a very weird comment, but Easy Wider BB Gun retorts,
"The singer has no voice at all, like none."
And then Godzilla Simpson just couldn't take it, got angry, and then he replied,
"Pray to the Lord that you mean unconventional and not good."
And then with a very staunch reply, strong words from Mr. Pugs and Kisses 127 says,
"You have no dick. Maybe you'll grow one if you stop listening to pussy music."
All right, so we're going to get back into the music with Lizzie Borden. And before we even get into the music, I just want to let everybody know, I am a huge Lizzie Borden fan. I have loved Lizzie Borden since I was 8 years old, and I don't give a fuck what any of you think. This song rips. It's called Save Me.
She's acting.
Yes, 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 we're back. Mike, I saw you liking that one. I want to hear what you think about that tune.
This was the first song tonight that I would even consider a viable piece of work.
Lizzie Borden, no, for real. Lizzie Borden, that band is so underrated from like the power metal, hair metal like genre. They seriously, like, they put so much work into their songs and their show. And I think that everybody was just thinking dumb then. And like the poster boys were like the Poisons and the Rats and stuff, even though I love a lot of Rat songs. Lizzie Borden will stand above musically. And they are just fucking phenomenal. Like, their albums are great. There's not bad songs on those albums.
It does sound like they were actually trying to write a song and not just like playing the same four power chords.
You mean like Girl School?
Yeah. It sounds like...
You mean like everything we just heard?
It sounds like they had played guitar before and not just like learning the same three things to try to get laid.
Exactly. Well, I mean...
Although, which one was Lizzie?
What? Huh?
Was Lizzie Borden? Is Lizzie the singer?
I don't... The band was Lizzie Borden, and I'm pretty sure that he was Lizzie Borden too, but his name was probably like, you know,
that's not a lady?
Jeff Blake or something. I don't know. He never... Here's Jake, what did you think of it?
I hear Rat in there. You don't hear Rat, the guitars?
A lot. Oh,
yeah.
You hear Rat?
I think that's why you like it.
Iron Maiden.
That's why you like it. It's the Rat Iron
but
Maiden thing.
The Maiden thing too. Like I said, they could have easily been a fucking new album band, you know.
Yep. And like you said, the drummer does something instead of nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work put into that song.
I'm with
and
you.
Those songs. It's awesome. All right, so anyway, Skull Splitter on the chat had to say what?
Is this a cover of Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Listen, Skull Splitter, we're going to do a taste test for you right here, right now. So, a resemblance, sure, but not a cover song. But thank you, Mr. Splitter, for your observation. All right. Here we go. We're going to get back into the music now, everybody. This is Vixen with Crying.
Crying, crying, when I think about you, 'cause they open my eyes.
those ladies rock. I'm going to tell you right now, that Vixen, that first album, it's legit. Those ladies could write a song. I love that album. I still love that album. Welcome back to Trash for Peace Theater. Mike, what did you think of the Vixen tune?
That was a pretty solid song, actually. I would say that's... I mean, maybe they were a hair metal band, but that was really more of just a straight-up 80s pop song, which I think is why it's probably a whole lot better than everything else that's been on so far.
No difference between that and Heart.
But I think it did sound a little bit familiar. I think I have heard it before, probably playing in like a CVS or something.
I mean, that's totally possible. Jake, what did you think of that tune? Resident Google Fingers, Jake.
It was fine. I want to do a did you know for Mark here. This is from Wikipedia, by the way. Richard Marx, one of the late 80s most successful recording artists, was heavily involved in Vixen's early career, co-producing the album and writing one of their biggest hits, Edge of a Broken Heart. Did you know that, Mark?
I had no idea, but it makes 100,000% sense hearing that. Seriously. Wow. Okay, cool.
Richard Marx? Like, yeah. Karl Marx? Like one of those guys?
Give the mic back to Jake. All right, so Vixen fans are really passionate. So in Husha, We Trusta had to say,
"Oh, my dad loves this song."
And how about the guy who's, what a great name he has here, Jimmy Abeer.
I miss the smell of Aquanet. Fuck the ozone, let's rock again.
And rounding it out with the testimonials for Vixen was a Hung Strategist.
I want to go back to the 80s and never ever leave. These were women then.
Well, I promise you, if I could build a time machine, I would send you back to the fucking 80s and not bring you back. Let's get into some docking, baby. Turn on the action.
Yeah.
is, it's the big metal ending. We're back. Here we are, and just like the 80s, this song never ends, baby. Here we go. Yeah, come on, end it. Get out your fireworks. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. All right, we're back. We were just having a very spirited debate. Those songs, Hot for Teacher and Turn on the Action, came out almost the same time. Jake, you were doing the research there. What did you find out, and what do you think?
This song was before.
After. After. So it's likely that Dokken heard Hot for Teacher.
Very likely. How could they? Yes.
Let's just put out this song with a little...
I'm just going to say it. I can't even prove it. I'm going to say that they heard it and they wrote this song.
Ah, okay.
But, I mean, it takes a long time to produce an album, and there's always a gap between recording and release and then the writing. I don't think they necessarily ripped it off. I don't think they necessarily heard it. Because they could have been writing this song
you think this might
before
have been in
Van
demo.
Halen.
Like, this might have been in demo at the time that Hot for Teacher came out, and they just didn't deviate from it.
They could have came up with this independently, and then Hot for Teacher could have came out afterwards. So if you think about the release cycle for an album and how long that takes, how long they were probably taking in their big LA studios and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say they probably at least started this song before. I mean, they could have just said, oh, fuck it, we'll just do that Van Halen beat after they had already written the song, though. So
I think it's up in the air. Both of you have valid arguments. And you know what? I'm just going to consider this a draw in the pointless, counterpointless segment of
I actually don't think Don Dokken is even smart enough to copy Van Halen.
And we're going to... That's the mic drop right there. But we're going to go back to the testimonials here. No need fur, if you are games... has to say,
never too old for this kind of music. Keeps me wild, young, and crazy 24/7, 365 days a year. Fire emoji, fake devil hand character strokes, devil, devil strokes, fire. Hell yeah, devil, thumbs up.
And Planet Caramel, he came in with.
My neighbor came outside and told me to turn this song down, so I punched him in the face. Semper Fi.
Oh, so we have a Marine there that, beat his neighbor up when he was told to turn down the song. Okay, well, I mean, listen, that's what the 80s was about, right? And hello from the Gutierrez. What did she say? Or him, or them.
In the 1980s, my friend and I were playing this album in his car, and another buddy was asleep in the back seat. At 4 minutes and 4 seconds, I cranked the volume, and Dave hit the brakes. Rob nearly shit his pants, slamming into the front seat and scrambling to get his bearings. Pissed ourselves laughing, still does. Great album and memories.
Now, I gotta go off on this one real quick, because first of all, why didn't he just say Rob and Dave when he said me and another buddy? Like, he could have, like, shortened his sentence in his testimonial. Second of all...
Who wrote this?
Who the hell is... Like, what I want to know is, like, he shit his pants, slamming into the front seat and scrambling to get his bearings, and still does. Does he do that? Have they created a condition to where every time this guy's in a car...
He's just perpetually shitting his pants. Like, since the 80s.
Yeah, have they created a condition for this guy? And, like, I'm just so confused... by this whole thing. So
they gave him IBS.
All right, so here's one of the sleaziest bands of the 80s. This was LA Guns with One More Reason.
Thank you.
another big metal ending. Everybody ripping off Black Diamond. Hey, we are back again. And Mike, that was LA Guns. That was actually half of Guns N' Roses before Guns N' Roses and LA Guns. They kind of split off. Tracy Guns and Axl Rose used to be a tandem, but they split off, and we know what history had in store for them. What'd you think of the tune?
Wait, so you're saying they took one shitty band and turned it into two shitty bands?
Perfect. Except for the original Guns N' Roses stuff, let's be honest, it was pretty fucking awesome.
I don't think I was born yet.
Oh, yeah. You get all this information from, like, I Love the 80s or something on VH1. I forgot.
Yeah. Ian Talking Head. It's Michael Ian Black. Those guys. Those cool dudes.
Get out of here.
Michael Ian Black is still okay, right? We're allowed to... We're not.
Listen, I was getting this from Hit Parader and Metal Edge and Cream. I was there, man.
Oh, anyway. I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. While you're holding your cell phones up at shows, remember, we were holding up lighters. Anyway.
My thoughts on this song. Does he really need any more reasons to die? It seems like he's already got enough.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have anything to say. Jake, what do you got for that tune?
I didn't care for it.
All right, so a bunch of people that did care for it were the people on the testimonial board here. And Mayor Crotch has to say,
this was the future of rock and roll, but the world got lost somehow and is still not caught up. 80s, the glory days for sleaze bands, back when we were real men, back when rock and roll was a true way of life and not just hype like today.
You know, I'm noticing a theme that none of these guys are, like, willing to accept anything from today. Like, it's like, it was all about then, that was it. Life was over after the 80s, or like, during the 80s. Like, they can't accept any progress, any change, anything. See, that sounds familiar.
I mean, it's exactly what I would have expected.
What did Six Kitten have to say?
This band is hot rockin' rockers, rock on.
So they're like the Barbie characters? Like the Barbie and the Rockers? You know what, though? Going back, a lot of these songs sound like Gem songs from that cartoon. Like the Misfits versus Gem. Like, some of these songs really sound like Gem songs. Hey, man, I like Gem. I don't care what anyone says. Judge me. And lastly, rounding out the testimonial here was Rust Lee Trombone.
Saw these guys twice in concert. Phil Lewis gave me a beat.
Now, I gotta ask this guy, and I wish he was here to answer, or she was here to answer. Does she mean that Phil Lewis, they mean that Phil Lewis gave them a beat like the vegetable? Like he handed them vegetables off the stage or gave her a beat? Because it's B-E-E-T. So I'm seeing, like, it's just really funny to me to think of, like, the LA Guns singer, like, gyrating and, like, assless chaps and then just handing her, like, a fucking bag of vegetables. It's just an awesome visual for me.
With that username, I had a different inference of what they meant by beat.
Fair enough. All right, so we're going to bring it back to the poster boys of the glam scene. We're going into Poison with Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Hey.
Ain't seen home in a last 3 days.
episode. We're back. Yeah. Well, anyway, that song fucking rips. I love that tune. We only have one testimonial here for these guys. From Talk Clean to Me.
I am 10 years old and love Poison.
That both saddens me and excites me.
I'd like to unpack it.
Go ahead.
Well, it kind of goes against what you were saying on the last song. First of all, that song makes that for some reason Poison sounds like a real band compared to LA Guns.
On one
first
song.
Of all, that's my yeah. And then you were saying that people are stuck in the 80s and they never change, but this kid supposedly 10 years old.
Yeah, but the 10-year-old got brought over. Like, it's kind of like why you procreate, to keep whatever you want in the world to continue. Like, that's how I feel. Like, it's like, well, I'm going to make the 80s keep going and my seed is going to be the reason. You know, that's how I feel about it. But again, I love this song. And I don't hate this. Like, yeah, I hate Poison for the most part, but this song fucking rips. I love this tune. Mike, what do you got?
It was bad.
Can you fucking elaborate?
I don't know that I can. I feel like it's just bad. Oh, look at me. My life's so crappy. I slept with two women last night. Oh, like it sucks.
Well, in the 80s, like, those were badges of honor.
The whole song is him complaining, but it's like a humble brag. Like, ah, my life's so tough. I'm partying so hard.
Like, you know, there's another there's another way of looking at that too, though. It's like looking at it like, man,
like a cry for help.
I wish maybe, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, like a cry for help. If we wanted to be, I don't think that Bret Michaels is smart enough to cry for help, only cry tough. You know, so to bring in like another Poison song, if you didn't get that reference.
No,
Jake did. Jake got it. But, like, how these guys were like you just said, they weren't smart enough to say, they just had to say what they said.
This and is I don't the closest think, I don't he could come to, like, actually like sharing his feelings with anybody was to complain about
having orgies. Like it's really tough.
This is the most nuanced way he could put it.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I wish the cat dragged them back out.
So we speaking of getting out, we have a sponsor this week, and our next band is here to introduce it. they're not even to be talked shit on, man. Cinderella is the shit. I love Cinderella. Mike, what did you think of that?
That was decent, actually. Like, there was at least one or two interesting things happening there at different times.
It's just a band that really knew how to write tunes. I love Cinderella.
Like, it's a dead simple song. But, like, the way they kind of peppered in little guitar leads and the actual solo in the middle was, like, pretty solid.
Yeah.
This is more like a like proper metal solo. I think it was, like, a harmonic minor.
Don't ever say proper metal to me again.
Trad metal.
Jake, what you got?
I'm sorry. I think Cinderella is pretty legit. That was probably the best song. I don't know, song? Maybe not song. Like, the way it was made seemed like it was maybe something that was the best of what we've heard today.
Fair enough. We don't have any testimonials because those people just don't deserve to be commenting on such a fine band. All right, so every band had one of these, so this song's a little deep. You know, every 80s album you heard people like, we have to have a power ballad. You know, we have to have something that, like, slows down all the partying and drugs and, you know, whatever else was going on. But this song's particularly personal. I like the song a lot that I remember. This was one of the second songs I heard driving home from Georgia when I knew my brother was going to be, you know, passing on soon. And he was my father. And my best friend, and most of this show was really compiled with him in mind. These were my teenage Saturday nights. Headbangers Ball, you know, with him arguing about how much these bands were wimps and waiting for like the last 20 minutes to catch some Sepultura and Napalm Death. But this song reminds me so much of him. And all right, let's play it before I start tearing up. This is House of Pain from Faster Pussycat.
Thank you.
Is that Razz Rocket? No, it's Jackal with the dumbest song of the night. You know what? This song is garbage. It's also hilarious. So this is Jackal with the Lumberjack. Take it away, idiot. Back to Jake and the testimonials here. Kix Axel, what did he have to say about this song?
I love how these guys have a sort of a punk southern rock sound.
You're a fucking idiot. I don't even know what that means with that guy. Punk southern rock?
I am baffled.
Shut up. All right, so the next testimonial is from negative 300 IQ.
This sounds like a giant fart.
And then, obviously, Bambi just took umbrage with that.
Yeah, from your mom.
You know, I'm glad these people are just in the 80s and where they are.
What about that was punk? What about that was punk? First of all, it sounds like Led Zeppelin.
I don't want to. So anyway, yeah, I fuck that song. I'm sorry. So anyway, I want to give a special shout out to Nick from Radiant Points here on RadioNope.com, fellow bandmate, World Sucks Basher. We're ending the show. Mike, we're ending the show. You cool? You with us? All right, on that note, so the final thing of the night is going to be from Warrant with Uncle Tom's Cabin. This is the best song from any hair metal band of the 80s, in my opinion. This is the tune that there will be no making fun of. Otherwise, you'll answer to me. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you for episode 6 in next week. Jake, thank you very much for reading these nudniks.
Thanks for having me.
It's been awesome. All right, guys. Good night. Stay tuned for Conan Neutron's Protonic Reversal.
Let the world sink down. time got down, prayed real hard that we wouldn't make a sound. Running through the woods, back to Funky Town Shack, where the full moon shines through the rooftop cracks.
Oh my God, Tom, who are we gonna tell? Share of them belongs in a prison cell. Keep your mouth shut, and that's what we're gonna do. Let's walk away.
In the wishing well.